For quite a while now, we have been moving through Luke's Jesus story as Jesus has journeyed with his disciples and some other people as Jesus has been making his way towards Jerusalem. Over the past number of weeks, we've been focusing on some of the parables of Jesus, stories that he's told people in an effort to help people catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God. A few weeks back, we heard the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Then we heard a story about a shrewd manager whose master accused him of wasting his possessions. Then we heard a parable about a rich man and a poor man whose name was Lazarus. And when during the rich man's life, he neglected those who were in need around him. Last week, we heard the parable of a widow who refused to give up in her pleading with a judge. And we were reminded of the importance of persistence in prayer. Today, the parables of Jesus continued. And today's parable is a familiar one to many people. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. One which spoke about two people who went to the temple one day to pray, two people who prayed very differently, and when they left the temple at the end of their time, one left right with God and the other one didn't. Now, because many of us have heard this parable many times, for many of us, this is a very familiar one. We've heard sermons on it before. There's a danger for us of thinking we know all about it. There's nothing else in it for us. We know how the story ends, don't we? One character of the parable is seemingly held up as an example to follow, and the other is the kind of person that we should never try to emulate. And yet I wonder if there isn't more in this for us. Whether, in fact, there might be things we might miss because we're familiar with the parable. When Jesus told the parable, I suspect that there were people who felt as though the rug was being pulled out from under them. I wonder if that could still be the case for us today. Regardless of where we find ourselves or which character we find ourselves identifying with in the story. So let's spend some time with the parable, opening ourselves up to what God might be wanting to say to us through it. And I want to title the sermon today, Standing on a Level Playing Field. Now, if you've been with us as we've been moving through Luke's Jesus story, you'll be aware of some of the context. You'll remember how as Jesus has been moving and getting closer and closer to Jerusalem, there's been increasing tensions with some of the religious leaders of the day. There were some who tried to discredit Jesus because of Jesus' identification with the poor. And some of those religious leaders, they had an affinity to riches. Others were at odds with Jesus because he didn't keep the law in the way they thought the law should be kept. And so there at times were tensions that were increasing with the people around. I think it's just important to flag right here, though, that we not paint every religious leader with the same brush back in the days of Jesus. While there were some whose ways did not seem to reflect the teachings of Jesus, there very well may likely have been others who did. The fact that Jesus uses a Pharisee here need not make us assume that all religious leaders were terrible. Now, as I was preparing the sermon this week, I was thinking about this point, I thought, well, I sure hope it doesn't come across just because I'm a religious leader. I've got to kind of protect some of those religious leaders back then, but I don't think that's what I'm doing here. I think that it's just that the fact that Jesus speaks of this particular Pharisee in kind of more of a, as a villain, I think it's important that we not just spread that across universally to everybody. Because as far as many people of the day were concerned, the religious leaders were held in high esteem. They were thought of highly. And I think the reason why Jesus uses two characters here, and I think that Jesus is trying to set up a clear dichotomy between two people. Someone who was thought to be righteous and somebody who was thought not to be righteous. As far as the people of the day were concerned, the Pharisee and the tax collector were at opposite ends of a spectrum. There were the Pharisees were those who were whose lives revolved around faith and faithful practice, and then there were those on the other side whose lives were completely opposite. Most of the people of the day thought of the Pharisees as the good guys, people for whom holiness was important. They were thought to believe the right things. They were thought to do the right things. They were held up by many. The tax collectors, on the other hand, they were the scoundrels of the day. Not only were they working on behalf of the Romans, working on behalf of the people who were their oppressors, the Hebrew people, working against the Hebrew people, but those tax collectors often collected more than they should have been collecting. And so they were lining their pockets with the money. So Pharisees were thought to be way up here, and tax collectors were way down here. So when Jesus started off his parable by saying two men went to the temple to pray, one the Pharisee and the other a tax collector, very clear images would have come into the minds of those people who were there listening. If Jesus would have been speaking today, I think he would have talked about two people going to the church to pray. One, a longtime church member who was active in many ministries at the church. One who regularly led Bible study. One who knew a lot of teachings of Scripture. One who volunteered in the community. And the other person was somebody who had just been released from prison. And not just for a mild crime, but for some horrific crime. Pretty well all of us have images come into our minds when such people are mentioned. We know which one of those two we would be drawn to, which one of those two we would more likely to have as close friends of ours. As clear images come into our minds, clear images would have come into the minds of those who were listening to Jesus. There was a Pharisee and there was a tax collector. One person whose life was very, very respectable, and one person whose life wasn't. At the start of the parable, things would have only been confirmed in the minds of those who were listening. We heard in our reading today that when the Pharisee went into the temple to pray, the Pharisee stood by himself. And people who had been listening would have thought, well, of course he would have stood by himself. Because it was important to set yourself apart from others. That's what the people of the day understood holiness to be. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, through Moses, God says these words to the people of Israel. Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now the word holy means to set apart. So God was seen to be set apart from everything else. God was set apart from evil. God was set apart from corruption. God was set apart from the sin of the world. And in that set apartness, God was seen to be holy. As God was holy, so were people called to be holy as well. They were to set themselves apart from others. They were to keep their distance from those who might bring them down. They were to keep their distance from those who might contaminate them. During over the last 2.5 years from the pandemic, near the beginning and for a while after that, we were told to keep our distance from others so that we wouldn't be spreading the virus to other people. Well, it was almost like that with the people, their understanding that you get too close to sin and you're going to get it yourself. It's going to contaminate you. You're going to be affected. So it would have made sense to many of the people who were listening to Jesus that the Pharisee standing by himself in the temple was the right thing to do. That would have been what they would have expected him to do, to keep himself from getting too close to others. And the start of his prayer would have been exactly what people would have expected as well, because the Pharisee started his words of the prayer with thanksgiving. God, I thank you. You know, other than words of praise, I'm not sure there's a better way to start prayer than with words of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving helps us to put things into their proper perspective, helps us to understand the source of our blessings. Lord, thank you. And even after the prayer of the Pharisee, I think many of the people who would have been listening to Jesus would still have thought pretty highly of him, even as he continued his prayer, particularly because the very things that he did. He fasted twice a week, not just once a week, but he fasted twice a week. That was pretty impressive. And he gave 10% of all that he had. He gave that back to the Lord. This man would have come across to those who were listening as someone they would like to emulate. It seemed as though he believed the right things. It seemed as though he did the right things. This guy would have come across as a shining, shining example. And yet, the rug would have been pulled out from under the people when Jesus got to the end of the story. Because he said that it was the tax collector, not the Pharisee, who went home justified. It was the tax collector, not the Pharisee, who went home right with God at the end of the day. And I think the people who were there listening to Jesus, they would have been scratching their heads as to why. Why was the end result so different from what they had expected? And we know the answer, don't we? Because we have the benefit of Luke's preamble to the passage today. Because in the opening words of the passage today, Luke adds a little kind of editorial. Listen to verse 9. To some who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told the parable. The people there, they wouldn't have heard any of that part of it. They just heard the parable. But we have that preamble. We get a little clue before the parable even gets to us. And so with those words, we read the story differently than those who would have heard it the first time. We're given an indication of what we're to be looking for in the story. And we notice that while the Pharisee started off in a good way, started off with words of thanksgiving, his prayer very quickly devolved into something else. While the spotlight may very briefly have been focused on God, very quickly it shifted to the Pharisee himself. God, look at me. You know, this guy, I think he would have fit in very well with the selfie culture of the day. You know, the selfie culture that does a lot of where people are taking pictures of themselves as they walk down the street. When I go for walks, the number of people that I see who are taking pictures of themselves, and in various places, I see people taking pictures of themselves. And I mean, it's not just, I'm not just talking about people who are taking a photograph of something. They want to memorialize some backdrop that they've seen, and they're not with anybody else at the time, so they'll take a picture of themselves to have that backdrop so they can remember. Now, I'm talking about people who are kind of oblivious to the backgrounds. They just are constantly taking photographs of themselves because they want to be looking at themselves. The Pharisee would have been a little bit like that. His prayer was very much like, "Hey, God, look at me." And in an effort to make himself feel even better about himself, the Pharisee found somebody, some other person that he could compare himself with. Somebody who he knew wasn't as worthy as he was. You know, I think part of human nature is for us to compare ourselves with others. Some of us, to help us feel better about ourselves, will look for people whom it appears, to us at least, that they are less faithful than we are. Perhaps that they struggle more with sin than we do, so it'll make us feel better about ourselves. Some people, on the other hand, because of a heightened sense of insecurity, they will compare themselves with somebody who's kind of up here, and so it kind of confirms their feelings of insecurity and unworthiness. But are we called to be comparing ourselves with others? Is that what it means to be a disciple of Jesus? If anything, we're called to be comparing ourselves to Jesus. That was the difference in the prayer of the tax collector, wasn't it? The focus of his prayer wasn't on self in any way. The focus of his prayer was on God. He knew that there was nothing that he could do to make himself right. He knew that he was at the mercy of God. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. One of the things I think Jesus was trying to get across to people who were listening was that being right with God doesn't stem from right belief, believing the right things about God, nor does it stem from right actions, doing the right things. And it doesn't even stem from a combination of both those two things, believing and doing. No, being right with God stems entirely from God. It stems from God's doing. And until we can truly recognize that and accept that, we are not right with God. You know, too many of us, too much of the time, we tend to rank sins. This sin here is worse than this sin over here. And often, the sin that we've put here is the sin that somebody else has done. Sin that we have here is one of the sins that we've done. We tend to rank our sins. But God doesn't do that. As far as God's concerned, sin is sin. And the result of sin is the same. It separates us from God. When we shift our focus away from ourselves to God, so we see the mercy, grace, love of God that God is offering to us. The Pharisee, he didn't think that he was a sinner. Or at least he didn't think of himself as a sinner like the tax collector was. The tax collector, on the other hand, knew the reality. He was a sinner, and he was desperately in need of the grace of God. In the opening words of the passage today, Luke told us that Jesus shared this parable to those who were confident in their standing with God and who looked down on everyone else. Where do you see yourself? See yourself up here? You see yourself down here? Without a doubt, I think most of us, if not all of us, would like to say that we're one of these people down here. But are we? Have we fully turned ourselves to Jesus? Have we fully accepted all what God has done for us? Given the two examples in the parable, probably we'd like to be the tax collector, not the Pharisee. Not because of the sin that was known to the tax collector, but because of his dependence on God. We don't want to be like that Pharisee over here. And you know, if we were asked, I wouldn't be surprised if every single one of us might be able to picture somebody that we know who we might kind of put as one of those people who's up here. Very likely there are people that you know who seem to look down on others. And after a passage like this, and we see what the end result of the prayers of the two people are, maybe a little bit of a hint of a smile comes to our face when we see who is the hero of the story, because it's not that person who's up here. And very likely we are thankful that we are not like them. But you know, here's the kicker. The moment we down here begin to give thanks that we are not like those people up there, we begin to start looking down on those people down over there, we become just like them. We become just like the very people that we're trying not to be. The Pharisee looked down on others, thought of himself as better than the tax collector. But what the Pharisee didn't realize is that with God, there is no uneven ground. There are no people up here and others down here. As far as Jesus was concerned, we're all standing on a level playing field. We may choose at times to draw a line in the sand, separating ourselves from others. Wherever people are on that dichotomy. But in the words of Nadia Boltz-Weber, every time we draw a line between us and others, Jesus is on the other side of that line. Think about that. Whenever we draw a line between ourselves and others, Jesus is on the other side of that line. As we draw lines in the sand, so do we separate ourselves from Jesus, because Jesus never drew a line in the sand and said, "You are on too far away from me." The Pharisee thanked God that he was not like everyone else. But the reality was, he was. He was just like the tax collector. He was just as much in need of the grace of God. Just as much in need of mercy. Just as much in need of forgiveness and love. And until he realized that, he was never going to be right with God. Jesus was once approached by somebody who asked him, what was the most important thing? Jesus didn't say, believe the right things. Nor did Jesus say, do the right things. But instead, he said, love God and love your neighbor. I believe Jesus wants us, each of us who want to be disciples of Jesus, to work out what all that looks like. What does it look like to fully love God? What does it look like to fully love our neighbor? And I'm not just talking about loving your neighbor in words or in thoughts or intention, but loving your neighbor in such a way that they experience that as love. What would such love look like? So where are you today? Where are the people around you? What lines have you drawn? And what is Jesus saying to you about those lines? You may be able to think of saints and sinners. You may see yourself as somewhere in between. But how might we live differently? How might we relate to others differently if we truly were to recognize that we're all standing on a level playing field? And that we're all desperately in need of the grace of God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you haven't drawn a line in the sand and said, I refuse to love, or I refuse to come to be with you. We thank you that you pour out your love upon us. Lord, sometimes we get so full of ourselves. Sometimes we compare ourselves to others to make ourselves feel good. Lord, help us to compare ourselves with you, to recognize that we are all in need of your grace. Help us to love others in ways that they can experience your love. We ask all these things in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.